Although the ranks of New England's largest police force have become more diverse over the past decade, 90% of the Massachusetts State Police Force is white men. And according to some current and former troopers, the workplace culture within the barracks is hostile and discriminatory to women and minorities. Their comments were part of an investigation of the Massachusetts State Police that was published in Sunday's Boston Globe. Globe reporter Nestor Ramos says he discovered several things about the state police as he reviewed whatever public documents he could access and as he spoke with both current and former troopers.
Well, I found that at least 10 current and former troopers have sued the department over issues that I would say are cultural in the last few years. These are all minority or female troopers who say they've been subject to either discrimination in promotions or harassment on the basis of sex or sexual identity or race. There are a couple of age claims. It's hard to know how prevalent that is within the department, but clearly when you have that many troopers from a limited number of women and minority troopers on the force who feel compelled to sue, it's something we thought readers would want to know about.
Mm-hmm. And your story actually has some of those statistics about the diversity within the ranks of the Massachusetts State Police. Why don't you tell us what those statistics are in terms of women and minorities on the force?
Sure. The force is roughly 90% white men. And has been for at least the last 8 to 10 years. It's about 10% minority and 5 to 7% female, if I recall correctly, which is actually not out of line with other state police agencies around the country. Others are more diverse, but also other states are more diverse.
How many officers are we talking about?
Roughly 2,200. So when you talk about raw numbers, the number of minority women on the force is something like 10.
And that's why 10 troopers filing suit is a significant number.
Yeah, I mean, to me it was enough to write about, especially given that one current lawsuit is a precursor to a class action potentially and has 4 plaintiffs, 3 women and 1 black man who is a former trooper, who are alleging that the workplace is really troubling in terms of promotions and transfers. Transfers in the state police often feel like promotions because there are a small number of really desirable units that troopers want to get on.
Was much of your reporting, would you say, based on lawsuits? Is that how you got a lot of information about the culture, or where did you get information to portray this picture of the workplace culture of the state police?
That's a good question, and it's something we struggled with a great deal because so much of what goes on inside the state police is hard to see. I ended up using lawsuits a great deal because they're one of the things that are truly public. Internal affairs reports are public by law, but in practice are incredibly hard to get. I filed a records request for just one last fall, and the state police requested at least $500 just to review a single report. We're talking about hundreds filed a year, and they won't give you reports that are open at all. So though those internal affairs reports potentially could say a lot more about what goes on internally, it's impractical to review them in large numbers.
We should say we got a statement from the state police this morning when we said that we wanted to talk about this story. They declined to come on our program today. But they did say, that they aggressively seek to recruit a diverse pool of candidates, similar to the statement that was run in your story. They also brought up those complaints filed with the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination, saying about half of the complaints filed since 2010 were found to lack probable cause, were withdrawn, or they resulted in favor of the state police. So is basically questioning, is this an accurate way to look at the culture of the state police? What would you say to that?
Well, the trooper who's in the lead, the former trooper who's in the lead of the story, Jim Jones, his MCAD complaint would be one that was found not to have probable cause. He stopped going to hearings, he says. Whether you think his story is credible,
And let's just say Major Jones had 2 master's degrees, went through FBI training. He at one point was considered a highly respected officer in the state police. And then he got to a new barracks and was encountering behavior that he says was subtle, but was derogatory. And he attributed it to racism. Is that right?
Is that a quick
way of doing it? Of the case of James Jones in particular, the state police statement that we received this morning brings that up, and it says the claim made by Jones to the Globe of the reason for his retirement was vastly different from the explanation that he gave to colleagues in the department, which was that he was leaving his law enforcement career to pursue other creative endeavors, and it wasn't because he felt as if he had been working in a hostile workplace. So what's that all about?
In talking to him, he clearly doesn't want to be construed as a complainer. He declined to file a lawsuit, though he was approached to do so. After a story of mine ran in November, I was pursuing him pretty aggressively because the state police to me said, well, we did have an African-American major who just retired when I was asking them about their demographics. So I thought, oh, well, I'll find him. And I did, and that was his story. But he was not seeking to tell that story.
Mm. And so
for him not to want to complain to his colleagues doesn't surprise me. That's sort of the nature of the culture.
Mm. What was most surprising to you?
It was a surprise to find troopers who were willing to talk so openly about the hard things they went through. There were only a couple, but those who did were very forthright. Jones has only been out of the state police a few months, really. And so for him to, I know he was nervous to discuss it publicly, but for him to do that was something we haven't seen a lot of, right? I mean, I don't recall somebody who'd reach that level in the state police that recently with those kinds of credentials, who was willing to be brutally honest about what he says happened to him.
When you're looking at complaints and lawsuits, you're obviously dealing with people who had bad experiences. So how do you sort of suss out that information and make sure that it really is an accurate, comprehensive picture of what you're talking about and not just one person's experience?
Well, I think if we were talking about one person's experience, I would have the same misgivings. We're not. We're talking about maybe a dozen people's experiences. We're talking in Jones about somebody who doesn't have that on the line, who's not suing and isn't interested in suing, who has essentially nothing to gain from talking about the culture there and whose credentials you enumerated. We're talking about Lisa Butner, who already won a significant lawsuit against the state police some years ago over their treatment of pregnant troopers. And so her claims and her 20-plus years in law enforcement lend even more credibility. These are still troopers who've chosen to come forward in a way that takes some measure of courage.
Why do you think that reporting like this and coming out with this portrayal of the state police is important to the public?
Well, there's ample research from all over the country and very serious scholarship that shows what happens inside the police department is mirrored on the outside. Troopers who mistreat each other will certainly have no qualms about mistreating the public. We saw in one lawsuit from an immigrant who was arrested at a Patriots game. He alleged that a trooper used several racial slurs, and then another trooper, to his credit, if what he alleges is accurate, reported that trooper when he overheard him allegedly bragging about it at the barracks. If race and gender are problematic inside the barracks, it's hard to imagine they wouldn't pose problems all around the state.
you know, it doesn't sound good, but does it appear that it's getting better? And again, I'm gonna talk about this statement we got from the state police, who say that they are, you know, taking steps toward improving diversity and other measures. I mean, from the folks you spoke with, do you get a sense that there have been improvements or no?
I don't think there's any question that there have been improvements. You know, the opening of the story was echoed by essentially everyone I talked to that, well, 20 years ago, the bias was out in the open. And no reasonable person talks like that at work anymore, right? Some of the things that were recounted from decades ago, which I don't think are relevant to today's culture necessarily, would raise anybody's eyebrows. That by and large, according to the people I talked to, isn't the case anymore. But getting better is a pretty low bar. It's hard to know at this point just how prevalent this stuff is, even if every allegation in there is true. Now, I do think that the allegations are more credible because they're coming from troopers themselves. These, by and large, aren't people with axes to grind, near as I can tell. But, yeah, you'd always hope it gets better.
That's Nestor Ramos, reporter at the Boston Globe. His piece is titled "Behind the Blue Wall: Claims of Bias in the State Police Force." Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Deborah Becker, and this is Radio Boston.